This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, you can now buy Bitcoin with your MasterCard. Microsoft unveils a new version of Windows and a new laptop. Twitter's going all in on video, and there's a recall on AT-ATs. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com. And we're also sponsored by CodeShip, continuous integration and delivery software that lets you ship your apps with confidence. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Visit CodeShip.com today to find out which CodeShip product is right for you.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 114 for Sunday, May the 7th, 2017. Sponsored by Olio Digital Labs and CodeShip. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, the rain around here has finally stopped. I wasn't sure if I was going to have to build an ark or not, but it was nice to wake up to a nice sunny day today.
Yeah, it was. It really was. I didn't know what to expect this morning. I didn't really trust the weather forecast anymore, even though it was pretty accurate the last few days. I just figured I'm just going to do the old-fashioned thing and just wake up and see what the day brings. And yeah, and it was nice and sunny. Cold, but sunny.
Oh, yeah.
I could handle that.
Cold day. Yeah, me too. Not, it's not raining. I got
not so much in almost mid-May, but
right.
It's a heck of a lot better than what we had the last few days. And I'm pretty sure the forecast for the rest of the week is fairly favorable.
Yeah, it's supposed to get better. We do have a frost warning tonight, and we'll probably have one for tomorrow.
I didn't plant any tomatoes yet, so I think.
Well, this is why people shouldn't be putting their plants out yet.
That's true.
Wait until the third week of May. Although I did get out to my nicely rebuilt patio this morning, had to bundle up with my cup of coffee and my laptop. But it was nice to finally sit out there in the sun after a couple of weeks of work out there.
So. Yeah, a week from tomorrow, the forecast for London, Ontario, is 19 degrees and sunny. So let's hope it just stays on the upswing.
Perfect. Exactly. Okay. All sorts of news once again this week. We're going to start you off with Derek's quick hits.
So there is this conference in Ottawa called IoT 613, 613 being the primary area code for the Ottawa area. And it's a conference that explores the future of the Internet of Things. And they just announced the winners of their student design competition. The winning team, which was called the Red Team, their main feature for their winning design incorporated beacons throughout a hotel that would customize the guest experience to streamline check-in, have elevators automatically stop at the correct floor, I really like that, and have room doors open automatically. And the semi-finalists are going to get some honorariums so that they can purchase additional hardware and software to complete their projects. Second runner-up. The second runner-up developed optimization of space usage for facilities and guests, which included the ability to check the actual pool occupancy on demand or setting apps to set notifications when it's quiet. So some really, really neat things that they were doing with Internet of Things, features, sensors, etc. And we're living in the future, man. It's pretty
there
neat.
I just wish they came up with a slightly more original name.
The Red
That's
Team.
All right.
At least it
the
wasn't
red
the Red Pill.
That's true.
LSpark, which is a... I don't really know how to describe them. Well, it's a company, but they talk a lot about venture capitalists and that sort of thing. They blogged about a month ago now, showing that the appetite for investing in SaaS startups, SaaS meaning software as a service, so hosted things, is actually really, really strong in Canada. In 2016, well over $2 billion were invested across the country in SaaS startups. A lot of those were from EDC Equity. Real Ventures was a big player. BDC Capital, Bank of Development Canada, 31 different investments. Relay Ventures also participated 9 times. So there's certainly money to be had. Predictably, 1.86, almost 1.87 billion of that was invested in companies based in Ontario. But 77 million out in British Columbia, 192 million out in Quebec, nothing in Saskatchewan apparently, 11 million in Nova Scotia. So the money is actually spread out across the country. It's not all in Ontario. It's not all in BC. It's really, really spread out. If you want a full list, or at least from LSpark, they have a really nice infographic if you want to see that. And I think, what is a pretty thorough list of companies who participated in SaaS startup investments. Click on the link in the show notes, and it's in LSpark's blog.
Interesting.
A company out in Vancouver called NetSense, they offer a Bitcoin wallet to sell, deposit, or purchase Bitcoin. They announced this past week that now their users can buy Bitcoin using MasterCard. And apparently this is a big step because no one else, according to them, according to the CEO, offers direct Bitcoin purchasing with MasterCard or Visa. So this is huge for them. I know that there's a lot of companies trying to ramp up investment and legitimizing Bitcoin prior to the next Winter Olympics in Japan, because they're expecting a lot of Chinese tourists
in
to
Korea.
Come over.
In Korea, sorry.
Sorry,
in
Korea. Korea, yes. And regardless, they're expecting a lot of Chinese tourists to come over there. And apparently a lot of Chinese people really enjoy using Bitcoin for a variety of reasons. So yeah, this is another step because NetSense is not just available in Canada, it's available worldwide. And of course, there are lots of people all around the world who do have MasterCards. So good on them.
Yep.
Nest Wealth, they're a Toronto-based digital wealth management platform. They just announced a $6 million investment from National Bank, one of the big 5 or 6 Canadian banks. This is part of multiple agreements between Nest Wealth and National Bank, which includes Nest Wealth licensing its investment technology to National Bank to help its advisors manage clients' money using digital practices. Again, good on them. This is, like I said, a bigger part of a part of a bigger relationship. And Nest Wealth Pro, which is what National Bank's advisors are going to get, it provides traditional advisors and their firms with the same tech that robo-advisors use.
Huh.
This is, banking's getting a little crazy. This is really interesting to see where things are going because we've seen in investments in Pepper last week by ATB Financial and some AI plays before that. So and now we've got National Bank jumping in there and investing in Nest Wealth and starting to use their platforms. And on Thursday, very, very sad news. If you have an all-terrain armored transport, Transport Canada has recalled it. So your AT-AT, which of course we all know is a four-legged combat walker used by ground forces of the Galactic Empire, it's apparently it has a faulty central hydraulic system that could fail in extreme cold temperatures, such as a planet, such as planet Hoth, or of course in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
So you should really you need to take it back to the Galactic Empire ASAP and ask for either a replacement or a refund.
A fix or something like that. Yeah, exactly. Of course, that was all done for May 4th, which is, of course, all true geeks know is Star Wars Day.
Yes.
Because, you know, May the 4th be with you. So, no, right.
That's
pretty
close
cool.
As we're going to get as to the May the 4th be with you on the calendar. So, yes, it's...
Exactly. It's so, yeah, good May for 4th. Them.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. I was really surprised that Transport Canada would do something like that, but I had a good laugh because it was very official looking. Like they actually took out a normal recall notice on their website, and I was like, that's awesome. That's a lot of fun.
That was pretty awesome.
Bringing some humor back to government.
Exactly. All right, speaking of awesome, we're going to stop for a word from our sponsor.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies, delivering web apps and mobile apps to businesses across Canada. In this era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it is becoming more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. Olio provides its customers with the peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide, a team that's big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. With a client list spanning from the Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and The Home Depot, the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by emailing Derek at Olio. Derek at oleodigitallabs.com, or visit oleodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we'd like to thank Olio Digital Labs for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. Okay, moving on. Microsoft, our good friends at Microsoft, they held a great big education event on Tuesday. I heard a little bit about this during the week. I was rather busy, but playing a little bit of catch up. But I know, Derek, you were all over it.
I wouldn't say all over it, but I was certainly paying attention, yes.
You were paying more attention than I was on Tuesday, let me put it that way.
Right.
So let's start with the first thing.
So the first thing is a stripped down, it's not stripped down, a revised version of Windows 10 called Windows 10S. And I say it's not stripped down and rather revised, and there's a few reasons for that. One, it's based on Windows 10 Pro. So that means that even in Windows 10S mode, I guess, it has features like the Azure Active Directory join, Windows Update for Business, Windows Store for Business, mobile device management capabilities, all that sort of fun stuff. And not all Windows 10 Pro features, but the key difference is that it doesn't give you the ability out of the box to run native Win32 apps, meaning you can't just go somewhere, download something off the web like Google Chrome or Firefox or my email client Newton by Cloud Magic or that sort of thing, and just install it and go. You are limited to the Windows App Store or Marketplace or whatever they're calling it right now. In a lot of situations, that's not necessarily a great thing. However, Microsoft has painstakingly tried to make it very easy for developers to port their apps and make them compatible or deliverable through the Windows App Store.
They've said they're going to allow competitive apps like browsers and that?
Yes. However, it sounds like you won't be able to make them the default. So just like on an iOS device, you can't make Chrome the default web browser, whereas you can change the default web browser on an Android device and on a normal, typical Windows device or Mac OS or Linux or what have you. So that's one of the big, huge differences. For the most part, Windows 10S is targeted at education, so your K-8 environments, high schools as well, because removing the ability to just go download random apps secures the heck out of Windows. It's Chrome OS's one of Chrome OS's big selling points. Certainly, the selling point, one of the big security selling points for iOS devices. Typically for Android, unless you purposefully sideload an app or enable sideloading for apps. It locks down Windows 10 hugely. And the licensing is cheaper for companies like HP, Dell, Acer, Asus, etc. And so education-focused laptops are starting at $189 US, which is roughly 260 Canadian, and are going to be start being released this summer. How good is $260 Windows laptop? I have no idea. I've never used one that cheap. But that's huge for Microsoft's ability to make a comeback against Google Chrome OS, because Chromebooks, I think in the US, now have 51% or 57% market share in the education market. They have, Google has absolutely taken over.
Right. Yeah, when I first heard this about Windows S, the first thing I was coming to mind was Windows RT.
Yes.
And the disaster that was, especially, well, you know, because you were, well, you were locked in, and that's what a lot of people
you
saw.
Were, and the really big problem was that those were ARM chip based.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just stripped down Windows, it was completely different architecture.
It made it tougher for developers.
Exactly.
So one of the things I do like here is that, you know, you can buy one of these, and if you want to then upgrade to Windows 10 Pro, you can upgrade at any time for basically $50. However, if you do it before $50 US, if you do it before the end of 2017, Microsoft will waive the fee.
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know, so yeah, they've definitely taken, you know, they've obviously, when they were developing this in the back rooms, they were thinking about that. You know, how are we going to make sure that, you know, people realize, you know, so yeah, I think the more I'm reading about it and that, I like kind of the idea they're going with. And as they quote there, it's ideal for people who have everything they need in the Windows Store and on the web and prefer the peace of mind that comes with removing the risk of downloading apps from other places. Now, again, yeah, you know, people like my mom or your mom or whatever, you know, yeah, they might be perfectly happy with Edge. And I know, again, I haven't used it much as a browser for its ad blocking and anti-malware things. But yeah, it could be a good possibility, as you say, definitely for the education market.
Right.
I think it's going to have a place there.
And more to that point, all Windows 10S devices ship with a free year subscription to Minecraft Education Edition. And they all include Microsoft Office 365, including the Slack competitor Teams platform.
Right, right. So that's a good deal right there.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, like, that's worth $100 right there.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess there's no email probably. So yeah, it would just be the desktop stuff. So yeah, that's about $100 a year. Paul Thurrott has a really good, bad, like a pro and con type list here. Like, good, if a hardware device works with Windows 10, it works with Windows 10S. True. We're just talking about the no architecture difference. Bad, of course, some devices that require desktop application utilities will provide limited functionality on Windows 10S because those utilities either will not install or run. Certainly, that's not a great thing. And that's why Microsoft is thinking ahead and saying, well, yeah, you need that stuff. $50 US, so what, 65 Canadian, thereabouts, 70 bucks Canadian, you can upgrade to Windows 10 Pro if you don't do it by the end of this year. So I don't think it's a terrible thing at all. And frankly, if I can get in the door at $300 or $400 and pay another 70 to get Windows 10 Pro, I'm better off. However, man, this thing is gorgeous. The Microsoft Surface Laptop. Certainly not targeted at high schools or K-8 schools. Definitely targeted, and they say quite clearly, at college students. So you spend your 13 or 12 years in elementary and high school, and then you're going to college. Microsoft hopes you will purchase one of their devices instead of going over to Mac or even sticking with something from Google. And so, therefore, they've unveiled the $1,000 US, so about 13,000 or 1,300 Canadian Surface Laptop, which I think is beautiful. It comes in four different colors: silver, rose gold, burgundy, and cobalt, which I think looks fantastic.
With a matching mouse color too.
With a matching mouse and in the same cover, the keyboard area, not the keyboard itself, but the rest of the area is covered in this really nice fabric called Alcantara. I've never heard of it. Alcantara keyboard. The speakers are actually underneath the keyboard instead of putting them in some sort of random place, which I, you know, once I thought about it, I'm like, you know what, that might work out really well. It certainly can't be that bad if they've decided to keep it in the design. Starts at a Core i5 with 4 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of solid-state storage. You can go all the way up to a Core i7 with 16 gigabytes of RAM and 512 gigabytes of solid-state storage. Completely passively cooled, no fans, it is going to be coming to Canada and China later this year, US first, starting in June or July, thereabouts. So we might not get it, or, you know, college students might not get it for this upcoming college year, but maybe before Christmas. Platinum, burgundy, cobalt blue, and graphite gold. Either way, it's got a Pixel Sense 13.5-inch display at a 3x2 aspect ratio. So it's compatible with that Surface Dial from the Surface Studio unveiling and the pens, and it's a touchscreen, and it's really pretty.
It is. And, you know, I give them credit. I'm just, there's a couple of things I kind of look at. The base model only has four gig of RAM. And I really think these days you want 8.
Probably.
You know, yeah. And, it, you know, like I said,
you and I certainly do.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to go after the MacBook Air market, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, because, you know, Mac really dropped the ball there. But it'll be interesting to see how many of the kids will want to, you know, if they've, you know, depending what they've had before, you know, you still go to a lot of college campuses. I see an awful lot of Apple product, or the coffee shop and that. But again, it's also good because it does come with one free year of Office 365 Personal, which includes a terabyte of OneDrive. That's good.
You got to hook them somehow.
You know, they've got Kirby Lake processors. KB Lake. I always do that. Cabby, I don't know why.
One or the other, but
Cabby. Kirby, I always call it Kirby. I don't know why. That's one of my things.
It's not a pink marshmallow looking thing.
No, it's not. Pity. But anyway. If you really, you know, some people, you know, Paul Throt has a similar good, bad, and, you know, thing on this. And he doesn't like the fact that you can't get a higher graphics card.
If you're a college student, if you're a serious college student, like in doing your law grad degree or something like that, you know, you don't really have any time for gaming. So it's not going to be a huge concern. There are probably still software these days that will only run on Windows. So there are absolutely kids going to school now who need a good Windows device.
Yep.
I got it for you right here. The Surface laptop is beautiful. And I know I said it was a little while ago, I was looking for a laptop. We decided not to get one.
Yep.
You know, I'm kind of glad if we held off, because if I do decide again to get one later this year, it's probably going to be this. And I will upgrade to Windows 10 Pro. I'm not going to stick with Windows 10 S. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. It's a very nice machine.
It's a heck of a lot cheaper than the Surface Book, too.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see. Well, and again, I like something with a clamshell. That's something we were saying before. You know, I like some of the Surface products, the Surface Books, but I really, you know, my ideal thing is something with a clamshell that, you know, sits in place or folds back on itself. You know, like, I like the idea of using it as a tablet, but I am one of these people that use a laptop on my lap. I use it in the Lazy Boy, somewhere, you know, and that's where the original Surface Books don't do it for me. I need a Surface Pro. See,
and the Surface Book is the 2-in-1 is the 2-in-1 actual laptop that you can then pull apart and use as a tablet.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's why it's like $4,000 for the model I want.
Exactly. But no, you know what? Kudos to Microsoft. They're certainly bringing out something else.
Mm-hmm.
Gives people, you know, it's a good, valid, viable choice.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, I was going to say it's a good, valid, viable choice. And again, it gives people some more options. And if you're Apple, you're seriously taking a look.
Absolutely.
For that segment of the market. Yeah. Go ahead.
And lastly, Microsoft announced an extension to Microsoft Teams called Classroom Experiences. And basically, it's tailored to education in that it will separate the interface into conversations, files, class notebook, assignments, and quizzes. And if that's not enough, teachers can add additional areas like, doesn't say like what, it just, you can add additional ones. Cool. Each conversation is recorded and archived. That allows students that miss a class to easily catch up. If the teacher used an app like OneNote to teach their lessons, students can actually replay the lesson in sequence to get a sense of their teacher's thought process. That's really cool. Students can also see changes in real time, regardless of where they are physically located at the time. Of course, teachers sometimes need to jump into a conversation to edit a conversation for content in case a student says something inappropriate. So teachers can do that and delete comments as needed. If a if a student needs to be disciplined, teachers can issue them a timeout.
Oh no, scary. Far cry from when we were young.
Yeah, well, no, that about the time I was young, I was that there wasn't a whole lot. I think a couple kids got smacked upside the head a few times, yeah. And then by the there time I finished high school, that was a big no-no. Yeah, so according to Microsoft, Office 365 for Education, including Teams, will become widely available later this summer. Although classroom experiences started earlier this week in private preview. So if you've got it, hey, feel free to send us an email to contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca or send us a tweet or Facebook message and let us know how it's going. Exactly. We'd love to hear I'm not going to get the chance to use this in the wild, so I'd like to hear, you know, what it was like the first time you issued the troubled child and a timeout.
And let's hope the troubled child didn't immediately hack the system.
Yes, let's hope they are not that smart.
There's a Microsoft data center somewhere. It's a smoldering hole. Yeah. Okay.
So moving on to some. In addition to all that, we heard a few days later that Microsoft is going to have an event in Shanghai on May 23rd, it will show the world what's next.
And a tweet from the Surface chief Panos Panay makes it clear the event will involve the Surface in such form.
Yes.
So, yeah. So hashtag they're basically Surface. Saying, yeah. So basically, we're probably going to see a Surface Pro 5 or whatever they're going to call it, the successor of the Surface Pro 3 or sorry, Surface Pro 4. That because that was released actually October 2015, if you can believe it, quite a while ago.
It does not feel like it was that long ago.
I know. Same thing. The Surface Book was released at the same time. Because one of the other things was the Surface revenue had a 26% decline. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
So Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella cited the end of production life cycle for certain Surface devices and increased price competition. Mm-hmm. So again, we're going to be interesting to see what they come out with. Again, I like the idea of the Surface. I just wish it was a clamshell case and hopefully it would stay
able to give you a performance base like they did with the Microsoft Book, and that'll be your normal looking base.
Hopefully they've solved all the power issues the previous couple of ones had.
Yeah, so. I think they have. Those were all firmware things. So at least the vast majority of them were dealt with within a few months. It took a little while.
I used to three for a while, and it was, very annoying. Wake up in the morning and, you put it to sleep and then it would be happily, sucking down power and you had like 3% left. And, very, very frustrating, far different than my iPad or a MacBook or whatever. So, So again, we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Okay. Moving on. Our good friends at Twitter, they've teamed up with Bloomberg to create a round the clock streaming TV channel. So according to an article that came out of the Wall Street Journal, they partnered with Bloomberg for around-the-clock streaming television news service. So this is going to be different than your typical Bloomberg stuff. It's not going to be as much for investors and stock types, but more for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Dorsey basically said in an interim memo last October, one of the company's missions was defined as being the people's news network. It'll be interesting. They did deal earlier last year with the National Football League to broadcast Thursday night games. Amazon now has acquired those rights. And again, Twitter's trying to do stuff. Their growth has stalled, and you know, I know my use of it's kind of dropped a bit. It's definitely an interesting phase for Twitter and social media right now.
So I love Twitter. It is my favorite social network. I have been spending a lot more time lately on Facebook and Instagram for a variety of reasons. But Twitter is still absolutely my favorite. And so I've been making a point to make sure I actually use it more often lately. But I really like this. So here's a good example of where this is going. Earlier today, I went to the search tab and I saw, hey, live coverage on France 24, France 24 network, about the French presidential election. That's perfect. I've been interested in that. I was actually tweeting at another podcaster named Patrick Beja on Twitter earlier, and he actually tweeted back, so that was nice. I watched a few minutes of France 24's English language coverage live on Twitter because I and got to hear a few perspectives. And I've been listening to a podcast called The Phileas Club, which is hosted by Patrick Beja, and getting more of an international perspective and news and that sort of thing once a month. So it was I got to experience this sort of thing and where Twitter's headed and with these types of partnerships today. I got an email a couple days ago, you should have too, Stuart, about the fact that they were going to be streaming Friday night baseball games, except for blackout areas, right on the platform. I was like, okay, well, I don't watch baseball, but that's cool. We've gotten live lacrosse games once a week lately. So, you know, the Toronto Rock and the New England Black Wolves and stuff like that. So I've been watching a lot more lacrosse lately from the National Lacrosse League. And then right now, of course, something they've been doing for a while, live red carpet and that sort of thing. Today is the MTV Movie Awards, I think. Or Video Music Awards, one or the other.
Didn't they used to be a station that had music videos? I don't think they do that
anymore. In about 1994, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I know that it looks like it's US only right now, but Twitter also put out this week an app for Roku. About time. I've been waiting for a Roku app for a while, but of course I'm a Canuck, so I can't install it. So hopefully that gets pushed out to Canada soon. And then I'll be able to have an Apple TV-like experience, and then I'll be able to watch the free lacrosse games on my TV instead of on a tablet or my phone. So I'm willing to go with Jack to the mountain on this one and see how it goes. I'm totally fine getting more video as long as it's video I'm interested in. Lacrosse, I'm good. News, good. You know, that sort of stuff, that this is all fine. International news coverage and live feeds from those countries, ideally in a language I understand, fantastic. I'm on board. And actually, I will say, they've actually made the interface, whether you're in landscape or portrait mode, really easy to both watch the video and participate in the discussion if you want to. But you can go full screen video. You don't have to pay attention to anything else anybody's saying. And you can get a lot of free content, video content at this point on Twitter.
Perfect. Okay. We're going to pause now for some more awesomeness with another word from our sponsor.
CodeShip is a continuous integration and delivery as software as a service, and lets you ship your apps with confidence. Choose between CodeShip Basic, a simple testing and deployment service with pre-installed CI dependencies that works out of the box. The average setup time for CodeShip Basic is less than 3 minutes, or give CodeShip Pro a try. CodeShip Pro is a fully customizable continuous integration and delivery service with native Docker support and a lot easier to use than Jenkins. It makes it easy to test and deploy your microservices and push to any registry. It's also perfect if you want to deploy with Kubernetes, and comes with a convenient local CLI tool that allows you to run your builds locally, helps encrypting your environment variables, and guarantees 100% parity between your development and production environments. Very nice. Both CodeShip Basic and CodeShip Pro come with a free plan that grants 100 builds per month, unlimited projects, and unlimited users. Open source projects are always free on CodeShip. So visit CodeShip.com today or check out CodeShip.com/features to find out which CodeShip product is the best fit for you.
Awesome. And we'd like to thank CodeShip for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast. All right. In kind of local news for you and I, there's a new app out there that helps people find and pay for parking. It's not just in London, but we recently here, the city recently announced it, an app called Honk. So it's a mobile app. It allows them to search for parking spaces on streets and in city-operated lots, make a payment, and this is really good for people, top up their time with just a few taps on a smartphone or tablet device. Nice. Because, you know, how often have you been? You've been somewhere and you're running late, and, you know, you're worried about having to go back and feed the meter or getting back there and find. Yeah, going back there and finding you're 10 minutes late, and there's already a ticket on there.
10. Three. 3 minutes nice. Late.
I know.
And there's a $70, nice. Not $70, a $36 ticket or something like that. It's like, oh, come on.
That's because they watch you. They watch you carefully. They
yes,
know.
They do.
They do. So basically, in London, it gives us access to more than 3,100 parking spots across the city. Coin and operated meters and pay and display stations will still be available for people wanting to do it old school. But yeah, I downloaded the app and it's actually quite cool. It uses your GPS. It will, you know, show you the closest parking lots and stuff like that. So yeah, and this is a Honk Mobile. It's a Toronto-based startup founded by tech entrepreneur Michael Back. So he actually successfully pitched this app to Dragon's Den in 2014. They also have a merchant program, so you can be able to offer incentives that come to their store, have promo codes and pay for their parking. So that'll be kind of neat. Every time you go to a restaurant or that, they can offer you free parking. Mm-hmm. And the company charges those just 25 cents each time the app is used.
I'm thinking to myself now, I pay $148 a month for a parking spot downtown. If I could, but there's also paid parking available in that parking lot. So I don't know if, like, I guess I could, if I wanted to actually participate by renting out my parking spot, which is an option here, make money from your empty parking spot. It's not empty very often though. So right. I'm not sure right. This is really targeted at me. But anyway, no. This is really cool. I like the idea, especially for municipal parking spots. I'm glad. Well, I guess an in-park could hop on here, but I like the fact that it's that the at the municipal level that they're involved, because certainly those are my favorite types of parking spots. If I didn't have one downtown already, and but, you know, lots of other places I go. Obviously, I'm not paying for a monthly parking spot. So if I could use this in Oshawa or Toronto or St. Catharines, Grand Bend, perfect.
Grand Bend, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of nice. You don't have to run back if you're running late. Don't have to run back from sitting back on the beach or whatever.
Yeah, so, just sit on the beach and just keep paying for my parking. Like, just keep paying I don't feel like getting up yet.
Nope, exactly. All right, our last story. Google had to move pretty quick last week. There was a widespread phishing scam that hit inboxes around the world midweek. So basically, you would get an email from someone that you knew that contained a Google Doc in your contact list. And this was pretty widespread. I actually didn't get it. I was kind of surprised. Usually I get this sort of thing that tries to come through. So you clicked on the invitation. It led to a real Google account selection screen. After that's selected, an app called Google Docs asks for a series of permission. This is where, you know, if you're savvy, you'd see the red flag, because Google Docs doesn't require permissions as it's native to Google.
Right.
So this is a third-party app. And and then if you got through, it would promptly go into your contact list and send it out and all that. So they jumped on it pretty quick. They're telling affected users revoke access to that app. And follow up, you know, the normal stuff, follow up to any contacts that sent you that and let them know they've been compromised. Google says it estimated 0.1% of Google users were affected. That's still going to be a heck of a lot of
that's
users.
That's still a couple million, yeah, at least.
That's still a lot. That's still a lot. But yeah, it's always interesting to see. It's always the cat and mouse game to see what new and, you know, what will happen and whatnot. So yeah, interesting.
I'm not surprised something like this happened. I'm surprised that, and this has already been beaten to death, and so I'm sorry, I'm not going to go on it for long, that certain measures weren't already in place. Like, somebody shouldn't be able to make an app on Google App Engine called Google Docs. And, yeah, I guess that's the main thing. Because, yeah, you're right. Google Docs already has access to your docs. Google Docs does not need access to your email or what else did it ask for? It asked for a bunch of permissions it certainly wouldn't need, even if you needed to authorize Google Docs manually.
Right.
Thankfully, you mentioned it was a small percentage. Still a lot of users, but a small percentage. And Google figured out what was going on and shut it down within an hour of this thing starting.
And they got the word out quick.
And even if you were duped into it, they've stopped the app, so it can't do anything to your data. But you should still go to myaccount.google.com/permissions and revoke access just in case. Because if they got in once, there's probably a way that they could figure out how to reinvigorate that URL that it was leading to and get this thing running again.
Exactly. On to stuff we like. I've been doing a lot of media purging and moving of that. I have a lot of old TV shows or stuff like that, old videos, things like that on DVD. DVDs and CDs to keep. Well, you know, back before NASAs were popular and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm going through them before I dump them. I'm having a quick look and see if there's anything that needs to be copied or anything I want to keep. So, for when I'm doing really big files like this, I use a product. It's free. It's called TerraCopy for Windows, and it's just awesome. I started using this years ago. This was originally designed for copying stuff off USB keys. So what it would do is it would override the built-in buffers back in the XP days. So you could, you know, it would go really, really fast. And it just does. It's got a little bit more smart. You could verify things. You can set copies up in batches. So unlike the traditional window copy, four files, then I go to another directory and do another one. It's going to try and do both sets at once. This will actually batch it, which is very handy for larger files. It'll integrate right with the Windows Explorer thing, so I can basically have it become the default copy program, or I can have it bring up a dialog asking me which one I want to use, whether Windows Explorer or copy. Very good. It compares the file verification, it'll compare hashes of source and target with all the normal algorithms and a few I hadn't heard of before. Mm-hmm. Very quick little product. It's one of the standard things when I use, when I install a machine, I always put it in there. So it's free for personal use, and for commercial use, they do want a license for it. Very good product. I have a link in the show notes, but if you just do a Google search on TerraCopy, you'll see it there. Excellent program, well recommended.
Cool.
What do you got?
Mine is the Pinebook. So the Pinebook is a laptop based on the open source Pine A64 system on a chip. So it's a lot like a Raspberry Pi, but not a Raspberry Pi. And so the Pinebook, they've had an 11.6-inch LCD model out for a while now at $89 US. This thing is cheap. Yeah. and I just got an email a few days ago saying, hey, the 14-inch version is available. And I went, no way. And it's only $99 US. And I was like, what? what? So I've got a special pre-order code and everything. I almost clicked order, but ooh, I didn't. Yeah, so quad core ARM Cortex A53 64-bit processor, running at 1.2 gigahertz, full size keyboard, large multi-touch touchpad, 5 inches diagonal. It does external displays. It has you can expand the storage with micro SD cards. The only downside, and there's probably a way around this, is that it only handles 2 gigs of RAM. And because it's system on a chip, I suspect that's not upgradable.
Probably not.
But otherwise, this thing is awesome. Like, it's $100 US. Like, this is one laptop per child level pricing. And out of the box, it will run multiple different Linux distributions. I would probably choose Cinnamon Mate, but the Debian is available. Ubuntu Mate. Ubuntu with the Mate Windows X Manager on there. It'll run Android 6.0. It comes available, like, probably the Android open source project. It comes on the disk. Has a front-facing webcam. It 0.3 megapixels, but again, whatever. It's $100. Like, if you want something to give to your kid to let them become a maker, or a computer they can break and you can just flash and let them start over, for the 11.6 inch model at $90 US, what is that, 120? Like, it really doesn't get any better than this unless you specifically want Windows or Chrome OS or Mac OS. Like, if you just want something for them to bang on, or you want something for yourself to bang on and learn Linux or something like that, this is perfect. You know, they say right on here, do not expect this to replace your work or school laptop. This is not powerful enough. Certainly not the RAM. It's not powerful enough to do that. But, like, man, this is... It's cheap. And this actually came out of a Kickstarter back in the fall of 2015. So they're going still. This is awesome.
I could see someone like a writer or something just wants a basic writing machine, you know, and as long as they can back it up to the SD card or whatever, and then throw it on their Windows or Mac for later on editing. Yeah, exactly. No, great little thing. I remember these coming out a few years. So it's nice. It's nice to know they're still around, and looks like they're still doing great.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like I said, I want to figure out if there's a way to get more RAM. But if not, you know what though? It's probably I still might get one. I definitely want a review unit at least.
Yeah. You'll have to definitely check it out.
It's a system on chip limitation. The memory controller is the same as the one on older 32-bit CPUs. So
you'll just have to learn to write tight code, like in the good old days.
No, I'll have to. I'll have to learn how to use 64K. I'll have to learn how not to use 20 different browser tabs at once.
There you go. Back in my day, we didn't have even one browser tab. We had 64K, and we were happy with it.
Yeah.
Uphill both ways. Okay. What are we up to lately? I'm finishing up my on-call week, which is rather busy. I'm actually going to be doing some more video recording work for my model building club, local chapter of IPMS London. So that's going to be kind of exciting, being able to do some more of that, because I've been doing some of that anyway, learning a few more things about video editing and stuff like that. Got the patio. Patio's done. So once the weather turns a bit nicer, start thinking about what I'm going to put out there. And purging and unpacking stuff continues. That it will be a never-ending thing, I think, for quite a while. Oops, was that my outside voice? So that's where we're at. And we're officially the one-car family now. The old car got towed away to Kidney Car, so that's fine. So I got to call the broker on Monday and get myself off the insurance. Cool. So I can save massive amounts of money. Not really.
$100 a month, maybe?
No, not even that.
Or I guess it's 60. Yeah. Oh, hey. You know what? That's a...
It was a 2000 Corolla.
That's a few packs of cigarettes, which you don't smoke. So
no, I don't smoke. No, if I save up for a few months, might actually be a good bottle of scotch, which I do drink. So even better.
Yeah. Okay. So 2 months, you can buy a bottle of Lagavulin 16-year-old scotch.
I've had that before. That's very pleasant.
It's so good.
It is. Isn't
anyway,
it?
I know it's a week later. I'm still raving about it.
That's all right. You're still going on about it. All right. So what have you been up to this week?
Oh, so I set up a new redundant backup system for Clever Host. So not only do we have daily snapshots happening at the data center, which are server snapshots. So if I need to restore something like the whole server, I just go there, I click a button, and within an hour, it's done, which is great. I haven't made the official announcement yet, but I did get everything set up. This is a new redundant system using the Jet Backup Manager. Inexpensive, really nice interface, customer-facing interface for folks like yourself, Stuart, to do your own restores if you mess something up. Multiple backups per week, and more affordable than backing up to Amazon S3. So far so good. So Channy's moved over as well. I'm not using Amazon S3 there anymore. Alia and Paul got it first, Alia second, Channy third. They're all backing up on different days so as not to overload the storage server. And according to all my email alerts, so far so good. I picked up a few go ahead.
I was going to say, what did you name the storage server? Did you give it a similar name?
Atreides.
Excellent. By the way, an official Canadian Tech Podcast, no prize for anyone who knows what we're naming all those after.
Like, yes. What brand? And then my monitoring server, which I do need to spin back up and actually fix, is called Shai Halud.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
And no, it's not a Muslim thing. Anyway. No. I picked up trades 4, 5, and 6 of East of West, which is probably my favorite comic book ever. Not that I've read many, but I really do enjoy it. It's definitely adult-oriented. Lots of shooting and blood and some swearing.
I was reading the Wikipedia entry on that, and that sounds pretty interesting.
It's like a historical fiction type thing, but we're now in the future.
Alternate reality.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I got my minor soccer team drafted this weekend, and looking forward to the next Middlesex Center Council meeting this coming Wednesday. We had a couple weeks off.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, that's about it for this week. So don't forget to review us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Player FM, or wherever else you get your podcast. One note, we are probably going to be adding a few more platforms soon, so stay tuned for that. We also have a page on Facebook. Don't forget, we're on Twitter as well. Don't forget to retweet us. Follow us and like the page on Facebook. Send us an email to contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca to let us know what you think. We love listening to comments. Let us know what else you think of the show or what else you feel will add to things. And no, I will continue to say my jokes, good or bad. So that's a non-negotiable item. Sorry. So anyway, anything else before we today, Derek?
I do. CBC has been running this thing called Tripod, where friends encourage friends and family to try listening to podcasts. If you are so inclined and enjoy listening to the Canadian Tech Podcast, maybe you could, like we said, tweet about us, Facebook about us, Google Plus about us even, and mention the Tripod, TRYPOD, Tripod hashtag, and or get your tech-oriented or want to be tech oriented friends and family listening to the podcast, because I think we're generally pretty friendly to novices and experts alike.
I think so, and so
obviously more listeners for us means we can do a better job, and it's good for everyone.
Awesome. All right. So for episode 114 of the Canadian Tech Podcast for Sunday, May the 7th, 2017, my name is Stuart Clark.
My name is Derek. Just try me. Silva.
Thank you and be well.